Good morning to those of you who are here gathered with us. Good morning and welcome to those who are gathered online and watching us from the comfort of your lounge. And of course, hello to those who are logging in and watching it at some later time when it isn't a good morning. Anyway, we do, in good Anglican tradition, just have a few notices. You will be aware that the Thy Kingdom Come week is approaching. We aren't doing anything as official. No, that's not the right word. We aren't doing as much, perhaps, as we have done before COVID and before lockdowns and things. But the hope is that there will be a Kingdom Come prayer room down at St. Andrew's, and details of that will be coming out in the next weekly mailing at the end of this week. So look out for that coming at the end of this week. This Wednesday, we have the waiting room here, 7 o'clock, a quiet, reflective time for you to come and be with God and in His presence. Waiting room this Wednesday, 7 o'clock here. And now things are really beginning to hot up. We are clearly looking down straight into the top of a volcano there. Oh no, it's a coffee cup. We do enjoy drinking coffee after a service. But in order for that to happen, someone has to make it. And on the table at the back, there is a relatively blank piece of paper saying, "Will you join the coffee rota and put your name on it in a couple of places? If you don't, we shall end up with no coffee." That's meant to be an encouragement for you to sign up to join the coffee rota. And so we'll move on from our welcome and notices and into our worship. We are coming into a series where we are going to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, and where we are going to, each one of us, try and become more like Christ on our front lines and in our daily lives. And today we are particularly looking at love in action. As ever, the words in yellow are generally mine, and the words in white are generally for all of us. I say generally because I have highlighted part of one of the readings in white just to highlight it, not for us all to say it. But it'll be all right. It'll be obvious when we get to it. So, let's pray. Be with us, Spirit of God. Nothing can separate us from your love. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your saving power. Speak in us, wisdom of God. Bring strength, healing, and peace. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. And so we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you are able, you may like to stand so that as we sing together, that we will enter his gates with thanksgiving. And, of course, brotherly love includes sisterly love. Maybe it didn't quite scan, but there we are. We're into love in action, and because we're in love in action, we need to declare what we know we believe. And so, let us declare our faith in God as we say together, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would you like to be seated? And having declared that that's what we believe, we move on to recognize that although we believe these things, we do not always live as though we believe them. And so we need to just reflect on the things that we know we've got wrong. We know that we can bring them before a loving God. And so we pray together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, slow to anger, and forgiving all who are truly sorry, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, according to my notes, Jean is going to come and give us some Bible readings.
Reading begins from John 15, beginning at verse 9 to 12. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." The Apostle John wrote, "This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please will you open your word to our hearts this morning, and open our hearts to your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Remember this. Some of us are old enough to have been fans of the Beatles. And this particular song went to number one in the UK and in America and all across Europe. I guess because so many people could agree with the sentiment that all you need is love. Though I suspect that the kind of love John Lennon, who wrote this song, was talking about is a bit different from the kind of love that the Apostle John is talking about in those readings. In fact, I think you might be able to say that the kind of love John Lennon spoke about is almost the reverse of the kind of love that the Apostle John is talking about. I seem to have skipped a slide there, I apologize. Because St. John tells us very clearly that God is love, whereas for John Lennon, I suspect he believed that love is God. Listen to the words of the song. There's nothing you can make that can't be made. There's no one you can save that can't be saved. All you need is love. Well, I'm sure lots of people, especially the writers of pop songs, agree with that. And I was a big fan of John Lennon. But I don't think he had much of a clue about the kind of love that St. John is talking about. Although there is no doubt, of course, that love matters a great deal, especially when you think of the early years of life. I came across this particular book, Why Love Matters, How Affection Shapes a Baby's Brain. It's a fascinating book, and basically what Sue Gerhardt, who's a psychologist, says is that when a little child, a babe in arms, is denied love, it puts them into a state of high anxiety. And a state of high anxiety releases cortisol into the bloodstream, which is perfectly normal. It enables us, in the face of danger, to avoid the fight and flight response, as it's called, to avoid that danger. When the danger passes, things return to normal. But in the case of a baby who is anxious because they are not loved, their brains get an overexposure to cortisol, and that damages the functions of the body. It can lower the immune system. It can lead to mental health problems like depression in later life and personality disorders. So quite clearly, love matters a very great deal right from the very beginning of life. And right at the heart of the Christian message, of course, up there, these words. It's all about God's love for the world, a love that cures and heals, a love that's poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit when we become believers. And it's a bit like that illustration that we've been using just recently, the illustration of an overflowing glass of water. When we are filled with the love of the Lord, then it spills over to other people. And really, that's what our readings are all about. Us loving other people with the love with which God has filled us, the love that he has for us. The question I want to ask this morning is, what is that love like? That love of God for us. C.S. Lewis wrote this very important and very, very helpful book some time ago, The Four Loves. And he examines the four different kinds of human love that there are. Affection or family love, friendship, eros or romantic love, and charity, which is how he translates the New Testament word for love, a word we know as agape. And he makes this distinction between need love and gift love, which is a very helpful distinction. Need love is when we love something or somebody because it fulfills a need in us. Gift love, on the other hand, goes on loving almost always unconditionally, but not always, and it expects no return, but goes on loving. Now, you might think that C.S. Lewis would have thought that need love is inferior because it has a self-interest element to it. But in fact, he said, need love is all we can really bring to God in our relationship with him, because we do need him. We need his love, his care, his protection, his grace, his forgiveness. All our love for him, in a way, says Lewis, is need love. His love, on the other hand, is all gift love. He has no need of our love. Lewis puts it like this: God has no hunger that needs to be filled, only plenteousness that desires to give. And John puts it like this when he says, this is love, not that we've loved God, but that he loves us. So we bring our need love to God, and he pours out his gift love to us. Need love is not necessarily inferior, but it is always conditional. Because when the thing we love stops supplying what we need, we often go off it. And C.S. Lewis uses an interesting illustration. He says, if you're dying of thirst, a glass of cool water is very attractive. You could fall in love with it and declare, I'd do anything for you. But once your thirst is quenched, it loses its attraction. Gift love, on the other hand, goes on loving whether there is any return to us or not. Although C.S. Lewis did say this, and this is interesting, even human gift love has an element of self-interest in it. Let me give you an example. When my wife and I were living in Ealing, we were running a youth club there, and there was a girl in our youth club called Jill Sayward. And you may know her story, because one afternoon in March 1986, Jill, who was the vicar's daughter, was at home with her dad when three men forced their way into her house, beat up her father, left him unconscious, and assaulted Jill repeatedly. She actually wrote a book about it, Rape My Story. And 12 years afterwards, those men who had attacked her were caught and they were put in prison. 12 years afterwards, one of them, the leader of that gang, made contact with Jill, said he wanted to talk to her, to ask for her forgiveness. It actually made headlines in the paper, what Jill did. She met with him and she forgave him. And we were all so impressed by that. What an act of gift love that was. Extraordinary what she did. But even Jill said afterwards that she had benefited from forgiving this guy. She said these words, forgiveness released me from hatred and bitterness. So even the highest forms of human gift love have an element of self-interest, but not so the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives and gives and gives his love with no interest for himself. He sacrificed himself even when we were still sinners, says the Apostle Paul, even when we had no interest in him. He just went on giving and giving, regardless of our response. Of course, he wants a response from us, but he goes on giving his love. And it's that love that he wants us to show to other people. Love each other as I have loved you. But how is that possible? Humans are just not capable of loving in that way by themselves. And that is why it is called a fruit of the Spirit, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds that enables us to love each other as he loves us, with his kind of totally self-giving love. But is there anything we can do to cultivate that kind of love in our lives? Well, the very fact that Jesus commands us to love like that suggests to me that there is something we can do. And here is one practical exercise we can get involved in. Try giving it a dose of this. UPR. Let me explain what that is. Back in the 1950s, there was a psychologist called Carl Rogers who developed a form of counselling called person-centred therapy. And he said that the most helpful thing we can do when we're trying to enable other people to unburden themselves and find healing, the most helpful thing we can do is give them UPR, unconditional positive regard. And he said this won't be easy, and he quoted actually a case that he had. He was counselling a young man who belonged to the South African police force during apartheid. And he said he found it hugely difficult to give this man unconditional positive regard. But he tried to do so. And in doing so, he said, the course of that man's life was completely changed. Now, Carl Rogers wasn't a Christian, but I think you can see where he got this idea from. Because that, of course, is how God views us, with totally unconditional positive regard, without any judgment, without condemnation. And this is something that you and I can put into practice, particularly with people we find difficult, to view them with unconditional positive regard. It won't be easy, but it's something we can try and do. 5 times in his letter, John tells us, this is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you love as he loves us. It's his command. It's something we must do whether we feel like it or not. When my wife June was working at University College Hospital in London, she was deputy manager of a large team of youth support workers and children's hospital play specialists. And they were all looking after young people and children who had very serious long-term life-threatening illnesses. Some had been in hospital for 6 months to a year. And her team would go in and help these young people, these children, with their treatments. And from time to time, one of her colleagues would come up to her and say something like this. Oh, I'm finding that child, that young person, really difficult. In fact, I don't really like them, and I wish I didn't have to work with them. And June would say this to them. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm afraid that's just not acceptable. You have got to find something about that child or that young person that you like. And when you do that, you'll begin to discover how precious they are. Jesus has commanded us to love people totally unconditionally. It's something we just have to get on and do. We have to take responsibility for the growth of the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit in our life. Yes, he is the one. The Holy Spirit will enable us to love like God loves. But he'll only do that as we make an effort to do it ourselves. Think of a world-class violinist, for example, a Nigel Kennedy or a Sarah Chang. Yes, they're blessed with genius. They can play the violin so beautifully, divinely. They have the gift. But that's not enough. It is backed, as Nigel Kennedy said, by hour upon hour, day after day, practice till your fingers are raw. And the same applies to us. We need to exercise the gift love that God exercises. And it will happen when we take practical steps to make it happen. The costly effort. Let me finish with this. Thomas Edison, responsible for a number of inventions, including the world's first commercially viable light bulb, he was once asked how he did it. And this was his answer. Well, he said, I see a worthwhile need to be met, and I make trial after trial until I get it right. What it boils down to, he said, is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. You may know that saying. Well, in the case of the fruits of the Spirit, I suggest to you it's probably more like 50% of the Holy Spirit. But it is also 50% the perspiration of the believer trying to get it right in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Plenty there for us to consider and mull over in the week ahead. We are going to try and love one another and serve those we meet. So let's stand and sing, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Do have a seat, and Joanne's going to come and lead us in prayers. Do you want that?
No, if you could go to the next one.
You can move it on, Wynne.
Let us pray. Our prayers this morning begin with those taken from Tearfund. Lord Jesus, we pray for those people still in Ukraine, that you will protect them from violence and ensure that there will be enough essential supplies of food and water for them. We pray for those who are vulnerable, the elderly and those with disabilities, who are unable to flee to safety. We ask that you'll watch over refugees as they find safe places to stay. We pray for the wounded and those who have experienced trauma, and those grieving, and ask that you comfort them in your love and your peace. We pray that leaders on both sides will be filled with compassion, wisdom, calm, and a desire for peace in both countries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray for the upcoming elections in Lebanon. We pray that new and inspired politicians and parties will emerge who are not focused on power, but on responding to the crisis in the country. We pray that the elections will take place peacefully and that those disillusioned will turn up to vote. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for South Sudan as the rainy season leaves much of the country underwater. For those who have lost everything in these floods. For Tearfund partners as they continue to provide essential supplies of food and water. We give thanks, Lord, that the airstrip is no longer flooded and is now being used by the United Nations and other humanitarian agencies to bring much needed aid to communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord Jesus, for our young people taking exams in the coming weeks, GCSEs, AS and A-levels, entrance exams for further or higher education, and university end-of-year exams. Let there be your peace and calm in students, in the teaching staff as they support them, and in the location the exams are taking place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray now for all who are suffering in body, mind, and spirit. We pray for those in our church family, Trish, Janet, Frank, Shirley, Pat and Janice, for our friends and our families and loved ones, all those going through hard and heavy times. Jesus, when you seem far away or silent, may we remember the words from the Footprints poem where you say, "My precious child, I love you and would never leave you." During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. We thank you, Jesus, that you love each one of us and are always ready and waiting to hear our prayers. We close our prayers by saying together, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So as we come to our time of sharing communion together, If you're able, we will stand and share God's peace with one another. Let's stand. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share the peace with one another.
Please be seated. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks
and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord with your whole church throughout the world. We offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies, We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same, Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
we join together in this prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Our final hymn, a prayer as much as anything else. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. Heavenly Father, you have given us so many good things. We offer you these tokens of all the good things that you have given us, and we know that we are only giving back to you what is really yours. We ask that these gifts and the monies paid into bank accounts through standing orders and the like may be used wisely to your glory, to build up your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. I hope that all of us have picked up one of these cards last week or this week and are using the prayer on the back of it, which says, Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. You may like to hold out your hands to symbolically catch all the blessings that God is going to pour upon us, His unconditional love. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to Himself, the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in His service, and the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. If you wish further prayer, there'll be people at the front here to pray with you. If you just need a coffee, I hope there's some coffee over there.